I'll begin my talk this morning by reading a passage from Shindan Shonin's Shoshinge. The Shoshinge was composed by Shindan Shonin, the founder of our Jodo Shinshu Buddhist tradition, as a way of expressing his appreciation and joy in the Nembutsu teaching. Shindan Shonin no Shoshinge kara iku o itadaite kara hajimaritai to omoimasu. I invite you to join me in Gassho. Gassho o onegaishimasu. The person burdened with extreme evil should simply say the name. Although I too am within Amida's grasp, passions obstruct my eyes and I cannot see him. Nevertheless, great compassion is untiring and illumines me always. なんだ、つなんだ。なんだ。極めて罪の重い悪人はただ念仏すべきである。私もまた阿弥陀仏の光明の中に収まい取られてるけれども、煩悩が私の眼を遮って 見立てまつることができない。しかしながら阿弥陀仏の大いなる慈悲の光明はそのような私を見捨てることはなく常に照らしていてくださると。ナマンダブス。ナマンダブス。ナマンダブス。So as we are welcoming our friends from the Hollywood Buddhist Temple, I wanted to begin by just saying a little bit about, introducing a little bit about the San Mateo Buddhist Temple. Our temple was founded in 1910, so we celebrated our centennial in 2010. We're 106 years old now as a community. We have a portrait, if you, in the back corner of the hondo there, we have a portrait of our founding members, the Yamanouchis, as well as Ms. Mio Yoshimoto, who many of you who've been involved with Dharma School may be familiar with. She was very active in the BCA Dharma School over the years. If you notice, this room we're in here was built in the 1950s. This plot of land where we are was purchased by the temple members prior to the Second World War. And then during the internment period, the members were able to hold on to this property. So when they returned, there was a question of what to do with it. But the resolution and the hope to see the Nembutsu thrive in our community was such that they were able to then develop this as the temple. So our social hall, which I believe many of you came through on your way in, was the first section that was constructed. And then following that, the construction of this hondo began and was completed in the 1950s. And then the area where we have our tea and coffee and our dharma area where we were just now over to this side, that area was completed in 1980. We have a little plaque on the wall that talks about that. Our onaijin here, the Gokuden, the Shumidan, the Maijoku, these items were actually all at the San Francisco Buddhist Temple prior to coming here. And my understanding is that prior to the Second World War, these were the San Francisco Buddhist Temple onaijin adornments. And then following the war, the San Francisco Buddhist Temple renewed their items. And these items were actually stored in the home of one of our members for a number of years until they were able to get this hondo completed and have the items sent back to Japan to be refurbished. And so when they were installed here, they were completely refurbished, just like new. And so I believe you went over to the San Francisco Buddhist Church of San Francisco yesterday. So these items were originally over there. And so that's just a little background of our hondo, our temple here. As I mentioned, the community is over 100 years old, and many of our founding members worked as gardeners and domestics here, serving the San Mateo Buddhist community. This is historically, this area of San Mateo and Hillsboro, which is the city that just borders to the north of San Mateo, was an area where many of the affluent families of San Francisco had their large homes, and so our community sort of grew up in a sense, being involved with that community. So we have a long tradition of gardeners. Many of our temple members still work as gardeners here. And just yesterday, here in San Mateo, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of a Japanese garden that was built primarily by our temple members, but as part of a sister city relationship with the city of Toyonaka in Osaka, Japan. And so we were over there yesterday. We had a little Dharma school field trip. We went over there to, there was some taiko drumming, and then they had a little ceremony, and we went in. A few weeks ago, we have a summer, we call it Summer Terakoya. It's kind of like a mini version of Saishin Dojo for those of you in the LA area. But we sort of hope to one day, expand and maybe reach that kind of level of activity. But we're kind of, starting with, measured steps at the beginning. And we went over to that Japanese garden. And so it's an area that our temple members are familiar with. And I was over there with my family, and we were looking. And if you go there, I believe it's open this afternoon if you have a chance to take a look over there. You might notice that there's a crane that lives there in the garden. But it doesn't move. Doesn't move. It's a plastic crane, right? It's a plastic crane. And so we were over there, saying, my son says, why isn't it moving? Says, well, it's made of plastic. Made of plastic. But, it's actually the second crane that's lived there. I went over there earlier, and I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. They added, this was maybe about 2 years ago, I went over there, oh, they added a nice, little decorative crane there, sitting perfectly still, until all of a sudden, that decorative crane swooped down and snapped up a koi and had a nice little snack there on this little island in the middle of the garden. So, one very wise crane had realized that there was a koi buffet in San Mateo. We have lots of delicious Japanese food for people and birds. And so now there's a koi there that's a decoy to kind of scare away the fish. But it was interesting because watching that, it sat perfectly still, and you didn't even realize that it was alive. And I'm sure that, the fish didn't even realize it was there, but it sat there for about 15 minutes, just perfectly still, just staring at the water. And if you look into the water, it's a little bit murky. And so you can't see what's in there very clearly. But it knew there was a fish in there, right? It knew that lunch was waiting. It had that sense of it knew that, he knew what was there, and it was focused. It was focused. It was looking directly. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking, this is like our life in the Nembutsu. Shindan Shonin talks about how passions obstruct his eyes. Passions. Passions are things like greed or craving. We want something. Something like aversion or hatred. We don't like something. We hate it. And ignorance. We don't see things clearly. But even though this is the case, even though we can't see things clearly, the Buddha's light is always shining on us, and we can always maintain that focus in the direction, turning our minds to the Buddha. When we do that, then naturally we say, Namo Amida Butsu. My parents were here visiting this past week, and while they visit, they help out with our kids, and I think helping out with the children kind of brings them back to their days of parenting, their days of taking care of me. I'm an only child growing up. And, as we're spending time with my children, they're remembering and telling me, oh, I remember when you were a kid. Things that just come back to mind. I remember when you were a kid. And now my older son started kindergarten this past 2 weeks ago. And so we've been taking him to school. We got to get up every morning on time. Got to get up every morning on time. And, you know, sometimes it's not easy to get up in the morning, right? Does anybody here have trouble getting up in the morning sometimes? Yeah. Yeah, I see some of our high school students' hands are going up. I remember when I was in high school, I had a horrible time getting up in the morning. And my father was very, very generously would give me rides to school on his way to work. And so our morning routine was my parents would start waking me up, you know, around 6:30, and they would hassle me until 7:15 when we had to leave the house at 7:30. And then there would be this kind of frantic rush every single morning. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Does this ring a bell? And so this was our morning routine. And now my father, his job, he was an attorney. He worked as a lawyer, and he was a trial lawyer. So he would have to go to court. And court doesn't wait for your son to wake up in the morning, right? You got to be there when it starts, especially he was a defense attorney. You know, if he's defending his clients, they don't want, they need him to be there in the courtroom, right? And so that was always the thing, I got to go to court. Well, one morning I just couldn't get up, and court wouldn't wait. And so he had to go. And so when I finally got out of the shower, the house was very quiet. It was very quiet, and I looked at my watch, and I was like, oh, boy, how am I going to get to school? And I thought, I have a bike. I lived about maybe 3 miles from school, so it's not too far. And I was like, okay, I'll get my bike. If I hurry, I'll make it just right on time. So I, you know, went into the garage, dusted off my bike, made sure there was air in the tires, got ready to go. And this was in November. And here in California, November is a wonderful time to ride a bike. Many of you may know that I grew up in Minnesota, right? November, it's cold, right? It's cold. There is not snow on the ground, there's not ice, but it's cold. And so I had to get out, and I was biking, and my hands are turning red, and I'm chilly, and I'm, you know, blowing steam out of my mouth as I'm huffing and puffing along, and I'm rushing, trying to get to school, and, you know, I ran a stop sign, and almost got hit by a car, and, you know, it was a big, frantic rush to get to school. And when, you know, I got there, I was like, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to do that every day. So glad I have to do that every day. And it sort of changed my perspective on my father and our morning routine. Because up until that point, I'd been thinking, why is he so impatient with me every morning? Why does he hassle me so much? Well, he didn't have to give me a ride to school, right? I could have just biked. He could have said, you bike to school every day. You know, you're 17 years old. You bike to school every day. You know, but he very kindly wanted me to get to school safely, wanted me to get to school comfortably, enjoyed spending that time with me in the nice warm car. We, in Minnesota, as it gets cold, we turn our cars on about 5 minutes before we leave the house to warm them up, right? Used to be you had to start the engine before you could drive the car. You know, the engine would get cold, but so, you know, nice warm car, and then you drive off to school, very comfortable. But I realize now that, you know, my eyes were clouded by my craving to just sleep. Oh, just sleep 5 more minutes. That craving, very simple desire, craving, right? Aversion. You know, I don't want to get out of my nice warm bed and go down to the cold kitchen, sit on those cold wooden chairs and eat breakfast. I would rather be here, nice and comfortable, right? And ignorance, not seeing clearly the kindness of my father, what his wish for me to get to school on time, get to school safely, to enjoy some time together. So this is, for me, this is how I go through my life. I'm 39 years old now, you know, 22 years later, you know, still have these feelings, still don't like to get out of bed in the morning, right? Still, you know, don't want to go into some uncomfortable situation, and still often fail to realize this kindness that's around me all the time, supporting me. So this Nembutsu tradition, this tradition of our Jodo Shinshu teaching we receive from Shindan, teaches us that we're constantly supported by boundless wisdom and compassion. We talk about this Buddha here at the center of the shrine, right? Namo Amida Butsu. We say the name of Amida Buddha. Amida Buddha. Amida means boundless, immeasurable. Immeasurable what? Light in life, which represents the wisdom and compassion of the Buddha. Always there, supporting us, guiding us. Buddha, the awakened one. Namo, I take refuge in this. I direct my life in this way. Focus. I don't always see it clearly, but living in the Nembutsu, I have that direction. So even those moments when I'm angry, when I'm confused, it's like that crane staring down at that murky pond. You don't see the fish, but you know it's there, right? I don't see the compassion of the Buddha, but I know it's there, supporting me and guiding me. And so when I have the opportunity to spend time with my parents now as an adult, I'm all the more appreciative of them for all that they've done for me over the years and the continued patience that they show me and their generosity and kindness coming all the way out here to California. They come out maybe 3-4 times a year. I only go back maybe once a year. So there's still, you know, that kindness is continuing because it's so cold in Minnesota. And are so comfortable here in California, right? And they know that too. That's why they come to enjoy our wonderful weather here. But, you know, and I'm very grateful that when they come, they're able to come here and spend time with this Sangha, with this community, and see this wonderful place where we get to enjoy our lives. And they get a little taste of that. And Victor always takes good care of them when they come. They always are very grateful to sample the local Lodi wines and other things. So they always have a wonderful time here. And I thank all of you for your generosity and kindness for my family and for my parents, too, when they come for a visit. And we want to show that some of that hospitality to our friends from Hollywood who are here with us this morning. So following our service, we'll gather in the Dharma room. Yeah, Dilma, do you have something to say? They have a crane at the store? Yeah, that's right. They do sell cranes at the store. Sometimes people need those cranes for their gardens. Yep, to protect their fish, right? They're protectors, just like the dragons, right? At the fish store, that's right. That's right. They have one at the fish store. They do. If you go to the fish store where they have the koi pond, where they sell the baby koi to bring for your garden, they also sell cranes to protect those koi. That's right. Very perceptive. Yes. So we'll conclude here. I'd like to once again read these words of Shinran Shonin. Shinran Shonin no okotoba wo itadaite kara owarasete itadakitai to omomasu. Please join me in gassho. Gassho wo onegaishimasu. The person burdened with extreme evil should simply say the name. Although I too am within Amida's grasp, passions obstruct my eyes, and I cannot see him. Nevertheless, great compassion is untiring and illumines me always. Kiwamete tsumi no omoi akunin wa tada nenbutsu subeki no dearu. Watashi mo mata Amida butsu no koumyō no naka ni osame toraeteru keredomo. Bonno ga watashi no manako o saigitte mitate matsuru koto ga dekinai. Shikashi nagara Amida butsu no oinaru jihi no koumyō wa sono youna watashi o misteru koto wa naku tsune ni terashite kudasaru to namanda butsu. Namanda butsu. Namanda butsu. Namanda butsu. Namanda butsu. Namanda butsu.